Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to new episodes of the Reimagine Schools podcast for the 2023-24 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Goins, and I'm excited to bring you new conversations this school year with many of the top authors, speakers, and thought leaders in P-12 education. Once again, Rocket PD will serve as the official sponsor of the Reimagine Schools podcast. So if you're looking for the very best and professional development for educators, look no further than rocketpd.com. Also thrilled to announce my continued partnership with the Education Podcast Network, in which I am a proud member. If you're looking for other education podcasts, you certainly want to visit our website at edupodcastnetwork.com. And finally, folks, as we bring in guests each week to have conversations about how to reimagine schools, I encourage you to look at the show notes with each episode. That's where I'll have links for our guests through their social media websites. You might even find the occasional link to go to the bookstore and buy one of their books, as we're going to have a lot of prominent authors and speakers scheduled for this school year. So with that, folks, very excited to get ready to rock and roll for this new school year. As always, hit me up if you have questions or comments, or if you just want to talk more about what guests you want to see in the future on the Reimagine Schools podcast, because we're about to rock and roll. The Reimagine Schools podcast begins right now.
I'm Chris Nessie, host of Behind the Mic, Voices of the EPN, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello again, everyone. We are back again for another episode of the Reimagine Schools podcast. A great guest again today, a best-selling author, speaker, former school administrator, and the director of innovation at Future Ready Schools. A big welcome to Tom Murray. How's it going, Tom?
Greg, how you been, my friend? It is good to see you today. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me back on. And wow, it's been a couple of years since I've been on the podcast. So
yeah, it's always great to catch up with you. I've been following all your adventures on social media. You've been doing a lot of speaking, as you always do, going out talking to educators as we get into the new school year. So what is the message for this year as you travel around and talk to educators?
Yeah, you know, it's good to see you as well, my friend. But for me, is no matter where I go from coast to coast, there's amazing people working incredibly hard for kids. And so that's what it continues to keep me motivated and encouraged. You know, I've been still talking a lot about my last book, Personal and Authentic. How do we make the learning experience relevant for today's modern learners? How do we create a culture where people want to be? How do we focus on our own mindsets and, you know, kind of focused inwards before we try and point the finger and focus at other people, right? And, you know, things like relationships and failing forward and, you know, those types of messages really around a lot of mindset stuff. And it's just so important, especially coming out of COVID, all people have been through, all that they have on the plates, all the political pieces that are on the outside of our walls that are filtering inside our walls. And how do we really hyper-focused on what it is that matters most and loving and caring about kids and doing whatever we can to provide them access and opportunities and all that good stuff.
Well, I love the book. It's one of my favorites. And if you don't have it, you need to pick it up. The title is Personal and Authentic: Designing Learning Experiences That Impact a Lifetime. And I mean, it's a great read, so you certainly want to add that to your library. But I was looking at some of your social media this morning, and you had a great little thing on there and basically asked people a question. You know, what are you going to do today in your classroom to get kids excited about coming back tomorrow? And I think that may be the most powerful question we can ask ourselves each day as educators.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the shout on that. It stems off of during convocation season. And I had the true honor to do, I think it was 24 convocations this past August. And for there, I take that question and I change it on what will you do on day one that has kids running back to your classroom on day two? And at the end of the day, don't tell me we can't. Because I know that as you're listening to this, you're one of the most creative, dynamic, empathetic, amazing people on the planet. And I don't say that lightly, but when we think about the traditional day one of school from a number of, you know, a couple months ago now, you got a lot of folks that it's for the way I did it was, you know, fill out this index card, find this, do this form, fill out this folder and put your name on this folder, put your name over here, get this book covered, all the stuff. And I think about my own first couple of years doing that and kids leaving my classroom with 37 folders and 15 books to get filled, you know, covered for the next day, being like, well, I can't wait to come do that again tomorrow. And being like, man, what a missed opportunity. So I take that question and kind of shift it to what can we do today to make kids want to come back tomorrow? You know, at the end of the day, what we've got going for us is the state law mandates they show up. If it didn't, would they? I can answer that and say I get to be in about 100 schools a year. I get to see so much and time after time. Yes, absolutely. In so many places. But I ask it to also reflect because, listen, I just did a professional learning day yesterday. I'll be doing another one in just a couple of days here. And, you know, when we think about those days, how do we as teachers, if I'm a teacher listening to this, how would I want that day to go? What's the type of experience I would expect on this day? And I'll give a shout out to Northampton School District in Pennsylvania, where I just was, where teachers had voice, teachers had choice. Teachers were showcasing great things that they were doing before lunch, after lunch. What a collaborative, incredible day that I was so blessed to be a part of. And when I look at it, it's really just a great model of teaching and learning in the classroom and every day. And so what can we do each day to create an environment where kids want to come back the next day? I'll also back that up with, listen, I'm not naive. I've taught at both levels. I've been an administrator at both levels. And I know that not every moment of every day can be this amazingly joyous experience. Like, I get that. But if we're going day after day after day without things that kids are looking forward to, without finding that joy, without being super excited, without like discovering, learning and exploring and creating, then like, what are we really doing? Right. And so how do we create those environments where people want to be that they can't wait to come back the next day? And whether they're 5 or 17.
Yeah. And I think that's well said. And I think this idea of creating an experience for kids in the classroom is so powerful. And I've been blessed to talk to some amazing people over the years, doing the podcast and just out talking to educators. And I really have kind of landed on this idea that the role of the teacher has changed and evolved. And I think a teacher needs to be a designer and really focus on designing those authentic, personal, deeper learning experiences. And I was thinking the other day, I went to the dentist yesterday and I wasn't looking forward to it. It's a place I had to go because it's important to have good dental care and keep my teeth healthy. But I wasn't fired up about it when I got up in the morning. But I went to the golf store after that. I'm looking for a new driver, and I was really excited about that. I could not wait to get into the golf galaxy to start hitting drivers and figure out what, you know, what shaft I want to look at and what club head I want to look at. And I think too many times the school experience, unfortunately, it's kind of that dental experience. How can we create an experience where kids wake up in the morning and can't wait to get to school?
Yeah, well said. And I think, you know, the same holds true, I would say, with kids as also as adults and experiences that are provided to them. You know, how do we create an environment where our kids want to be, have experiences where they want to be? And part of that's not even the instructional component. It's the culture side, the relationship side. It's being around somebody that I know that cares about me. And then the flip side, you know, when admin, if we're to speak to my admin colleagues, when we're leading a faculty meeting, what's that look like? When we're leading an in-service day, what's it look like? Because on our end, it's real easy to tell teachers what you expect of them, build relationships, build culture, you know, do those things. Those things are really easy to say. You know, don't stand and deliver for 60 straight minutes. But then when I run the faculty meeting, I'm going to stand and deliver for 60 straight minutes. Right. And people see right through that stuff. And so I think for our admin, it's how do we create environments where our teachers want to be? And by the way, people want to be in environments that have high self-accountability as well. Right. Like, people don't want a complete chaos and free for all. So that's not what we're talking at all. I think cultures where people want to be have high self-accountability, value each other, regardless of title or role, and have the opportunity to be able to do that. And so I think, you know, we can look at it from a student experience end that they're a vital part of. But I think as admin, we can also look at it as a teacher experience or staff experience end. You know, when we look at professional learning, is professional learning something that's done to them or something they're a vital part of? Because to me, that's really the same question that when we're looking at the student experience in a given day as well.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things you and I have in common, actually, we have a lot in common. But, you know, one thing is we both coached whenever we were teachers early in our careers. Sure. We both have coached junior high baseball.
Yes,
and
sir.
I loved that experience. I was a student athlete growing up, and the chance to coach was a wonderful opportunity. And I love this time of year, you know, because You know, I think about coaching fall baseball, the season's short, and I'd love to go out and hit ground balls or throw BP today if my arm can hold up. But I think about I talk to a lot of people, a lot of educators that have an interest in moving into school administration. And one of the pieces of advice I give them is, if you've never been a coach before, I encourage you to do that. Coach a team, whether you're an assistant coach or maybe you're even going to be a volunteer, but get out there and work with a group of kids in a team setting, because there are so many wonderful life lessons in terms of team building, dealing with adversity. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to have another type of touch point with kids.
Yeah, so well said. And I it's interesting. And it's funny you say that, because a lot of times when I'm working with administrators, I'll ask the question, how many of you have coached something outside of school? You've coached cheerleading, you've coached baseball, your son's or daughter's rec, you know, soccer team. And it's honestly 70 or 80% of hands go up. And we do see a huge analogy. At the end of the day, we're coaching people, right? And I do an activity with administrators when I'm doing like leadership retreats and that kind of thing, where one of the premises is they're really a coach. And so I do this activity where they've got to partner up, they've got to figure something out, and they're coaching the other person to do something that they can't see, and they can't tell them what it is. And they're coaching them on how to do it, because the communication matters. And like you said, the adversity, how we handle that. You know, if you've been a coach in the bottom of the last inning and you're down by one and that person strikes out, or that person, you know, like gets a penalty kick in soccer and you lose the game, to look at your team who's feeling defeated, maybe some of them have tears in their eyes, maybe that your star player struck out and is feeling like worthless in that moment in time, or any player in that moment in time, and to be able to motivate them and pick them back up and encourage them and help them be stronger the next time. There's so many connections to that, to leadership. And I think for me, a huge part of that is meeting them where they are. You know, when I look at coaching and I look at just making that comparison, when I was a principal at both levels, like how I'm going to work with a first year teacher that's a few months in, you know, I put myself back to being 21 years old, fresh out of college, teaching for the first thing. The furthest thing I was an amazing teacher that had it all together. Like, I was trying to survive and keep my head above water. Well, I'm going to handle things a little bit differently than my 35-year veteran who's a rock star teacher, in the way I support them and encourage them. And I think at the coaching, like, you've got to meet people where they are. You can't coach a team, if you're doing a baseball, whatever it might be, by just kind of one size fits all instructions all the time. There's times, just last night, my son's a soccer player, plays regionally, absolutely loves it. The end of practice, I saw a coach pull him over and take 3 minutes. And I could tell, like, was really encouraging him, just one-on-one, was working, was showing him the skill, showing him something to do one-on-one. Well, that was really relevant for him, but might not be so relevant for his buddy playing next to him that's already mastered something, already done something. And so he's very personal, it's very authentic, right? And using those words intentionally, obviously. And so I think the connections to coaching, to sports, to, you know, getting jeered on the sidelines when you strike out as a player, or things don't go your way, or things are questioning, you lost 2 games in a row and parents are raising eyebrows, you know, because you haven't won the 8-year-old title and they're calling for a new coach, right? Like, craziness out there too. And I think just how to handle adversity, how to handle things when they don't go away, how to pick yourself back up after a losing streak, just really relates itself so well, because teachers face a lot of adversity. They feel like it is, you know, the outside of our walls seems to continue to just criticize everything that they do. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's an email, maybe it's a student that's really struggling, giving you some lip at the end of the day. And so, you know, I think the connections to any sort of sport, for us, baseball in particular, and some of the challenges and how difficult it is, as well as the practice and the refining. And the other connection I'll make there, you know, you think about somebody like a Tom Brady, and one of the connections I make in personal and authentic, obviously, you know, like, just one of the best players of all time, truly, you know, how many Super Bowls could that guy have won? But he still had coaches. He had people that helped refine him. People that helped, you know, do his footwork. He never, and he'd be the first to tell you, he never hit a point where, even as one of the best ever that he's arrived, he doesn't need a coach, he knows it all. He still had people helping him on the field and being one of the best ever. And so I think that's encouragement to administrators, get to coach some principals and superintendents around the country. And I think it's encouraging to them as well, as you know, coaching in that regard isn't just taking the worst people that are the people that struggle the most, the worst players on a team. I could probably phrase that better, but you know what I mean? And saying you're the ones that need it. No, the best folks need it as well to continue to grow, to continue to refine, to continue to reflect, to continue to get better. And just like in sports, you know, in our schools, everything's a work in progress and everything's trying to be a little bit better tomorrow than I was yesterday.
Yeah. And you know, I also see the classroom teacher as a coach for kids. I see the building administrator 100%. As a coach for teachers. And so there's a lot of this carryover that translates both on and off the field. But I also remember, you know, when I was coaching and also a classroom teacher, you know, I would have a student maybe fail a spelling test and really be relatively unfazed by that, you know, probably a little disappointed, but, you know, relatively unfazed. That same kid could strike out that afternoon with the bases loaded and be completely devastated. And that's when that coach has to put, you know, put your arm around the player and kind of lift them up. But it's also a situation where that student would never ask me if they could stay in for recess and work on more spelling words. But right. They would certainly say, "Coach, can you throw me extra batting practice tomorrow? Because I don't want that to happen again." So again, it kind of goes back to a lot of these things that happen on the field can certainly be translated into the classroom.
Yeah, I love that. And the other thing that I'll say, you know, for administrators that may be listening, for teachers that may be listening, is that, you know, so many times they're coaching them beyond the fundamentals. You know, in class, maybe it's that math, that reading, that writing. Of course, they're going to be coaching on the fundamentals, coaching kids instructionally and how to get better. Same things for administrators. They're coaching them on some best practices, how to shift instruction, how to engage more, how to create cultures. And of course, that's going to be foundational. But how many times in your work do you coach things that really have nothing to do with the teaching and learning side? And it's more about the human side. It's when that girl comes up to you, that middle school girl that's just had her first breakup and she's looking at you with tears in her eyes and you show her that you're a human and that you care, right? And maybe the kid say, "Well, that's just middle school drama and right, I'm here only for math," but just to show them, hey, I care about you, you know, in that environment. And same thing for admin, looking at it there as well, because I know coaching on the field, I think about, again, my son's soccer coach, who's an amazing coach. And, you know, the other day they were winning pretty good. They were up by 8 or 9 goals. And there they are at 10 years old, 11 years old. They're starting to showboat a little bit out there, literally pulls them all aside and was like, that's not the way we do it. Meaning he also provided some boundaries that it's not okay. We're not going to do this. And when I think about culture, when I think about behavior for students or even behavior sometimes for us as adults, right? There's times where we also need to be lovingly called out or called in to say, hey, like, this is not what we expect. We don't do it this way. Let me show you how it's done. And I think that's setting those high expectations, creating some boundaries, whether we're talking about with students, whether we're talking about even as adults and how we create that place where people want to be.
Yeah. And, you know, not to beat the dead horse with the baseball theme, but I could talk about that all day because that's an area that we have in common. But I know you're a Met fan and I know that your favorite player is Gary Carter, the former catcher there for the New York Mets. There's another catcher in the Mets organization in the Hall of Fame, Mike Piazza.
Yes, sir.
I often tell this story when I'm speaking or I'm working with school administrators as we think about potential and thinking about the type of things we're looking for in players, or in this case, students. And as you know, the story goes, Mike Piazza was not a very, he wasn't a guy, a five-tool guy that everybody wanted to sign. Nope. He was only drafted as a favor. Tommy Lasorda and his father. Yep. And then he gets into a situation in which they convert him from, I think, a first baseman to a catcher, and he's in the Hall of Fame. We get caught up so many times in grade point average, who's on the honor roll, who has the highest ACT score. And I often wonder how many Mike Piazzas are sitting there in the back of the room with their head down. And if we would just spend a little more time, you know, trying to build those kids up and allowing them, you know, to be great.
Yeah, no, I love that analogy. Certainly a Mike Piazza fan. And as a Met fan, let's also say, it's been a hard couple of years, right? And so, like, talk about facing adversity. And I know that's, you know, it's a favorite sports team on that end, but it's been a struggle for them, right? They've let folks down, and to keep cheering and keep staying steady with them. You know, I love that Piazza story. And obviously, certainly one of the favorites there as well. And never forget that home run after 9/11 and just some of the incredible monumental pieces there with him. But, you know, and I, I think about all those different pieces. You think about the adversity, you think about, like you were saying, I saw an interesting quote the other day and it said something like, how many A students end up working for C students? And I think we've got to look at how we define success. Because a lot of times, like, and I look at my own son and daughter, to be vulnerable here, you know, my daughter's that compliant kid, has always gotten A's literally in every class. She'll sit down, she'll be quiet, she'll put her hand up, totally fine in a traditional setting. She'll do what she's told. She's her own biggest critic. That's her. That is not remotely my son. He is not that kid. And when I look at, like, ultimately, how do we define success into the future? My daughter will probably end up working for somebody like my son, who started his third business, is now doing certain things, may have failed a few times, but was willing to try new things, push limits. And sometimes when we look at, like, those are often the kids we shut down. And quite often they're the ones that are the backbone to small businesses in our entire country, because they've taken risks, they've tried new things, they've stepped out. And so, one, I think we have to look at how we define success. And two, I think also we have to look at, you know, who and what and why we celebrate. You know, I think under No Child Left Behind, we put kids into this four-year college box and said, if you don't fit here, you're not doing your job and we're not scoring well. But I will tell you what, some of the best personal authentic learning experiences I've ever seen are happening in CTE and Pathways and Career and Votech and those kinds of things, who are doing incredible jobs, who are leaving high school, by the way, with jobs lined up. I was with a group last week in New Jersey, and the kids are leaving there, cybersecurity, walking out, getting jobs, starting at $70,000 a year with, by the way, no student debt, and out there crushing it, as opposed to what we've often valued in the past. You know, get your 4.0 GPA, go to some liberal arts school, which I did myself, so I can say that, leave college with $200,000 in debt, now saying I have no idea what to do with my life. But yeah, we're going to chalk that up as a success. And yet we often frown upon the kid that wanted to be the plumber that's now running their own business, has 10 different employees. And you ever pay a plumber on a Saturday? Like, they're doing all right, right? And if that's what the kid wants to do, let's encourage that. Let's support that. Let's not say you've got to fit into this box over here, right? And I think we've seen a real turn in that in the last number of years, where things like Pathways and CTE created related to workforce, where kids that may not have fit in that traditional four-year box because that's just not who they are, have had some opportunities to really thrive. And so kudos to the districts and to the teachers that are providing those kinds of experience, where it's not just about the regurgitation of information on a given test. It's also about the ability to recognize, hey, you want to use your hands and that's what you want to do, and you want to go be an electrician. Let's help you find a way to be able to support that if that's what you want to do, so you can follow your passions.
And you know, you have school-age children and you've worked with kids your entire career, as I have. And I keep thinking about Gen Z and, you know, whatever we're at now, whatever we're calling them, but this new generation of kids that are always kind of locked in, wired in, TikTok, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, as a classroom teacher, when those kids come to your class, there's so much going on in the world. It's unbelievable. We've got two wars going on now with, you know, Russia and Ukraine, and now what's going on in Israel. And, you know, there's culture wars, the political landscape is just a nightmare. And I think kids are a little bit, you know, it's very polarizing to be a kid in 2023, 2024. What can we do as educators to kind of help monitor their wellness, and ask some of the questions, and I guess listen to what they think about what's going on in the world around them?
Yeah. So one of the things I wrote about in Personal Authentic was the hidden stories within, recognizing that every student that walks into your classroom has hidden stories, and hidden doesn't necessarily mean bad. It can be good, you know, and the other piece is, here we are as adults with stories on our heart. You know, Greg, you've got things on your heart today that I have no idea about, right? That even as we record this podcast, that your brain might jump to, and maybe they're really good things and maybe they're a struggle, right? And so first thing I can do is I can say is we need to get to know our kids. And that's so easy to say, but if we really, really know them, it's easier and better to teach them, and we can go deeper. We know their interests, their passions, their strengths, and not just look at everything as a deficit mindset. I think for a long time, we've looked at, like, here's the four things this kid's missing. Here's what they need. So that's all we're going to focus on. Well, let's also, and of course, there's a time and a place to identify things that they don't have and find ways to support them. Of course there is, but let's also flip the script and say, here's ways that they are strong, and let's give them some extra practice there too, so they can build that confidence and that encouragement. And so I think that it's important to make sure that we're building those relationships with kids, really getting to know kids, providing a safe space for that kid to be themselves in that classroom, you know, and that goes down to that culture piece, to show that they're loved and that they're cared for, regardless if their strengths are come across as a little quirky to you as an individual or a little bit different. Well, just let that kid be who they are and provide an environment in that classroom where they can really thrive with high expectations for all. And so for me, it's get to know the stories of your learners, get to know who they are, what they like, and also be vulnerable and be real as an individual as you as well. Show them that you go beyond the content that you teach and your own interests and passions, and don't be afraid to be vulnerable and just keep it real with them as well. And then I think it's also important to leverage the voice and choice of our students. You know, when I, if you're listening to this, I'd ask you to just to reflect, like think about what you taught yesterday, or as an administrator, something you led yesterday. If you had to be a student in that environment, would you have enjoyed it? Right? Are you creating lessons that you'd want to sit in? Are you creating faculty meetings that you'd want to be a part of? And I know it's easy to say, but I think we got to look at it from that lens at times of like, if I'm going to throw my faculty meeting together last minute and throw out the agenda last minute, and then the next day be all over a teacher for planning last minute and not see the hypocrisy in that, you know, I think there's an issue there. And so I think it's be vulnerable, keep it real, stay humble, provide environments where kids want to be, give them some voice, give them some choice, give them opportunities to explore things that they love, that they're passionate about. And I think when we do that, we let them run. You know, like talking about this generation, talking about being a dad, both my kids have started YouTube channels recently. They actually both have surpassed me in followers, which is really, really funny at their age. And, you know, I don't use YouTube too heavily, but they both came to me that day and said, "Hey dad, just so you know." And I share that because now I will tell you, we monitor everything. It's good conversations around comments. What happens when somebody says something, "You're ugly" or "You're fat"? What are you going to respond? How's it going to be? You know, like talking about those things ahead of time. But I will tell you what, they've taken things where they're now video editing around content that they enjoy. My daughter's talking about what she enjoys with her horses and teaching other kids how to ride and what it looks like. My son's doing stuff around video games because that's what he enjoys. And he's creating content to teach kids and show kids, here's how you do it. And they're putting content that's authentic into the world. So they've got a real world audience. There's some people that will shut that down and say, when my son at 10 years old says he wants, no, or do we take every precaution? Absolutely, 100%. You won't find his name. You'll never see his face. You couldn't tell right now if you were looking at his channel. So yeah, we take precautions, but I'll tell you what, how many times does a student say, "Well, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to do digital media," and the person on the other end laughs? Well, let me tell you something. When you look at the jobs and the way things are growing 10 years from now versus some of the traditional, the jobs that we have that won't exist, sometimes it's we as adults, sometimes it's our lens that gets in the way before we can redefine what's possible. And so I think sometimes we need to be dream builder uppers, not dream killers. I totally understand that we need to keep kids realistic. You know, when I was 10 years old, I wanted to be a pro baseball player. I made it to college and I realized I hit my limit. That was it. I can play there, not the next level. So yeah, we need to help them think through other plans, but let's not squash dreams when they're 10 years old. Let's encourage them and show the world of access that we see things in them that maybe they don't even see inside themselves, to ignite that flame in learning, to find even non-traditional ways to give them voice, to give them choice in a safe environment to do so.
Yeah, very well said. And I could talk with you all day, but I want to respect your time. It's been a great conversation. What, as we close, just here the last 3 minutes, what are some words of encouragement for not only school administrators, but all educators as we enter into a new school year, and kind of help them think about this personal and authentic priority?
Yeah, thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. So I guess I'll end on, don't forget about you. You know, educators are some of the most giving people on the planet. They give and take care of people all day long. And sometimes they go home and they've got nothing left to give to the people that matter the most to them. And at times that's been me. And so I know that feeling as well. And also I'll say, as you're giving to other people and you're working your hardest, and our kids deserve that. Our kids deserve our best. And there's nothing less than that we can give. Don't forget to take some time for you. don't forget that it's okay to disconnect on a Friday afternoon at times and say, you know what, this one's going to wait till Monday because I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a date night with my spouse. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to go to that soccer game and I'm going to be disconnected because you know what, our kids grow up fast and are important and our families are top of our priority list there. And we can never lose sight of that. So as you're busy taking care of everybody else, don't forget to make time to pause and take care of you, because I know that educators are such giving people that it's real easy to run over yourself in this process. And so I hope you've started the year strong, but make sure that we're not waiting until next June to take the next break. And so love yourself in this process as you're doing that for kids. Anybody that wants to connect, Thomas C. Murray on Twitter, Thomas C. Murray EDU on Instagram, and I would love to stay connected. So Greg, thanks for the opportunity today, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Safe travels.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap on this episode of the Reimagine Schools podcast. As always, a big thank you to everyone out there listening, sharing out episodes, and of course, creating your own podcast PD groups right there in your own school. I'm amazed how many of my former students and educators, not only here in Kentucky, but throughout the country, have listened to these podcasts. They've formed small groups together and they've had discussion about how to create better schools for kids. And if you have a podcast group there in your school, and you want me to jump into a Zoom meeting or maybe even attend in person to sit down and have a roundtable discussion with educators in your building, I would love to do that. So hit me up. You can find me on social media at Dr. Greg Goins. You can always email me at drgreggoins@gmail.com. And again, if you have questions about leadership coaching or some of the consulting work that I'm currently doing with the Modern Classrooms Project or Rocket PD, hit me up on social media or shoot me that email. I would love to talk with you and help create better schools for kids right there in your school and community. So with that, folks, that's a wrap on another episode. Always do what you can to create better schools for kids.